Voyage.
Hey, listeners, I want to tell you about a new show just released on Voyage Media called Conversations with Men I Wish I Never Had. This is a podcast where former Master Mariner and Navy Lieutenant Commander Adina Grundy has candid, raw, cathartic, and often surprisingly funny conversations with women about their experiences in traditionally male-dominated fields, like the Navy, the Merchant Marine, and Police Force. These are the types of conversations that you might only privately have with your girlfriends, but we are sharing them for you to listen to. If you're someone who has ever had an experience working as a woman in a male-dominated field, we think you will find a lot to relate to and commiserate with. Be prepared to laugh, cry, and be entertained. The first couple of episodes are already available, and we will be releasing new episodes every week. Check out Conversations with Men I Wish I Never Had where you get your podcasts.
Thank you all for coming. I've called this press conference because next week I'm going to ask you one more time to allow me another 2 years as your HOA president. I want you to know that I don't take for granted your votes or my position. I take democracy very seriously. This is how we come together as a community and confront and solve our problems. And I'm honored to be able to serve you every day. These are not ordinary times. We have been working together to rebuild our communities, house the homeless, feed the poor, cleaning up the streets in every way we can. But we can't just be focusing on the problems. We have to find solutions to rebuild through street pickleball, Elvis night, and the ham radio challenge. That's why I'm for the community pool. That's why I'm going to be putting into place on day one of my new term stiffer rules for people who refuse to keep their properties maintained, including penalty fines and no access to the pool. I'm not playing. There's going to be a new sheriff in town. Well, hopefully the same sheriff, just not as nice and understanding as I have been. Thank you. Oh, and one last thing. I know up until a few days ago I was running unopposed, but I welcome my opponent Joan in order to keep things competitive and make me work even harder to earn your vote. I won't say much about Joan, but I do ask that all of you please consider choosing a candidate that you can admire and aspire to, and not someone with questionable socialist intentions. Thank you. I decided to do my morning power walk through the lower ridge today. I got a few vote for Katie signs with me, and I decided at the last minute to bring Joan a plate of brownies. I know Joan's always on a diet, but she's also got an insatiable sweet tooth. I quickly walked through the neighborhood, past the gutted houses, putting my vote for Katie signs into every corner of every block. I don't know who's around to see them, but hey, you never know. As I approached Joan's house, I saw a huge truck with a dumpster loaded onto the back of it, pulling into Joan and Mark's driveway. Joan's standing on the front porch watching the dumpster being lowered. She's wearing waders and holding a scoop shovel. Joan hadn't seen me yet, so I ducked behind a car that had been flooded and abandoned on the side of the street. Joan's two daughters, Sarah and Danielle, were standing next to her in clean dresses, begging to go to a friend's house that I know lives in the upper ridge of Cypress Creek. They don't want to help shovel shit, and who can blame them? I can see Joan is trying not to burst into tears.
Go on, girls. Have a good time.
Sarah and Danielle skip down the street away from their mother, away from their family nightmare. I watch as Joan takes a breath and steadies herself. She picks up the shovel and heads towards the heap of garbage that is her front yard. Mark is on the other side of the dumpster with Jeremy throwing pieces of furniture in. I feel complete relief and elation to see that they're finally getting their shit, literally, together and cleaning up this dump. Maybe that'll inspire the rest of their lousy neighbors to do the same. I notice the beat-up blue truck is coming around the corner, picking up people's belongings again. I've seen this guy many times before. He's a trash picker, coming from outside the neighborhood. I'm sure he sells this crap that he finds at the monthly swap meet for a pretty penny. And then those buyers turn around and sell the same junk for even more, and so on, until it'll end up in somebody else's junky house and get washed away in the next hurricane. I watch as the trash picker hauls a metal pipe from Joan's neighbors into the bed of his truck. Meanwhile, Joan is shoveling debris into the huge dumpster. It's hard for her to reach the top, so each time she shovels and puts trash in, a little bit falls on top of her, just covering her with moldy sheetrock. The trash picker with the truck pulls up in front of Joan's house, and he gets out from his truck and starts rifling through the pile of trash in front of her home. He grabs the brass bed frames that are lying on the pile. I watch in awe as Joan realizes he is holding onto her precious bed frames. He is pulling on them to loosen them from the pile.
Excuse me.
Joan literally climbs over the trash pile to the man.
What are you doing?
I'm just picking up the straight metal pieces.
He pulls the bed frames out from the pile and throws them in his pickup. Joan approaches his truck. She is practically red with rage.
Put those bed frames back.
They're on the throwaway pile.
I might need them. Put them back.
Why?
You are not getting my bed frames because I'm not ready to get rid of them. So put them back.
I'm building a go-kart for my son.
Then tell your son that you learned a lesson today, and that is not to take other people's stuff when they've barely got any stuff left to take.
Jeremy is scared. His mother's finally losing it. Mark watches, trying not to crack a smile. And I take this as my perfect signal to strike. I stride up to Joan holding my plate of brownies. Joan, just passing through to say hi, but I see you're busy. Joan's horrified, realizing what I've just witnessed. She takes the plate from me.
Thank you.
The man reaches into his truck and he puts the frames back on the pile and drives away while Joan tries to grab her bed frames but can't while she's holding the brownies. So she tucks the brownie plate under her armpit. She grabs the bed frames and hauls them into the garage. I power walked my way out of the lower ridge, but ran into Darla, who was power walking in the upper ridge. She tried to pretend she didn't see me, but I wasn't going to let her get away. Not on my turf without promise of a vote. Darla!
Hi, Katie.
She seemed unusually upbeat today. Usually she looks at me like she's stepped in dog shit. I thought this could be a good time. Listen, I wanted to ask, have you decided who you're voting for HOA president next week? Can I count on your vote?
Oh, I never talk about voting. I'm a religious leader. We like to maintain neutrality.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, Darla, I could definitely help you and your church with that new roof if you help me get reelected.
Thanks, Katie, but I've already got the money.
I've been to Darla's church. She literally has the poor and the tired in her congregation and nobody else. Wow. All 100,000?
Yeah, some anonymous investor just dropped the whole amount into the church's bank account last night. No note, no nothing. No idea who it was.
How wonderful. I wonder, though, do you really need the whole amount for the church? Couldn't you put at least some of that towards cleaning up your house?
Manny and I would never. The donation is for the church. For the people's home, not mine.
Oh, come on. Even the best pastors set a little aside for themselves. Like a salary.
Not this one. Have a good day. God bless you.
As Darla walked away, I couldn't help but scream after her. Just remember, when I'm reelected, you'll be facing stiffer fines for your property maintenance. You really should consider that. Nancy, what's up?
Katie. Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't believe she did this.
What? What's happened? Can you slow down?
Joan, it's Joan.
Is she okay? What's happening?
She sold shares of my stock without consulting me last night.
Jesus, Nancy, calm down. Maybe she saw a good deal and decided to take it.
She didn't buy anything else with it. She sold it and transferred the money somewhere. I don't even know.
How much was it?
$100,000.
Holy crap. That immoral bitch. That's where Darla's mystery money came from. Joan played Robin Hood last night, taking money from the upper ridge and giving to the lower ridge. But why? To win votes? Darla doesn't even know it was her who got the money. Oh, she's good. Not quite pure, but not self-absorbed. I almost have to admire her. Almost. I decide not to tell Nancy I know where her money is. Not yet, anyway. I want to hold on to that information as long as possible so that I can wield it over Joan when the time is right. I hung up with Nancy and called Joan immediately. Hey, Joan.
Hey, Katie.
You have time for a quick bite to eat right now?
Mark's got the contractors coming at 11:30 to put in the new stove, and...
We need to talk, Joan. I just found out about Darla's donation.
Oh?
Yeah. And I thought we could celebrate.
Oh.
She was freaking out.
Should we invite Darla?
No. I thought we could talk on our own. So what do you say?
I...
See you at the tea room. My husband took me to Paris about 4 years ago, and I fell in love with the city. Ever since then, I've tried to live my life as a French woman. One of my favorite rituals is lunch with friends. There's a tea room that's the only place in town where I like to meet my girls. I love their quiche Lorraine. What I despise about the French, however, is how they move so goddamn slow all the time. I pulled up at the tea room about 15 minutes later than I told Joan. I don't like to arrive anywhere early. It makes me uncomfortable sitting alone waiting for someone. She was sitting at the table in the corner of the restaurant, the one I always like to sit at. She was already eating. How rude. She was slurping up her tomato soup like she hadn't had a hot meal in months. I waved at her from afar and put in an order for my quiche Lorraine and then sat down across from her at the table. How are you?
Good. Good.
She was just nodding and smiling at me. Nodding and smiling like an idiot. I looked into her eyes to see if she showed any signs of guilt, to let her know through my stare that I knew what she had done. She had stolen money from Nancy. But every time my eyes rested on hers, she would shift them just slightly away so that we never stared directly at one another. By the time my quiche Lorraine arrived, Joan was done eating, and we still hadn't said a word. But of course, as soon as I took my first bite, she bit me.
I heard you've been helping some of the neighbors in the Upper Ridge process their FEMA applications.
Shit. How'd she know that? Did Big Mouth Nancy have anything to do with that? I just chewed for a long time and sort of wiggled my head back and forth. Not a yes, not a no. And when I swallowed my quiche, which seemed very... very dry on this particular day, I said to Joan, did you know Nancy donated $100,000 to Darla's church? Joan didn't even blink.
How generous. Did she tell you that herself?
She did not.
Did her friend on the city council who is processing those FEMA applications you've been submitting tell you that?
Nancy has a friend on the city council who works for FEMA?
Or a friend of a friend. That's the word on the street.
How interesting. Quite the coincidence.
Yes, lots of coincidences happening. And it seems that all these coincidences are really benefiting our constituents.
She wasn't cracking. Why are you running for office, Joan? I mean, you have a full-time job, 3 kids, your house is in disarray. It just seems like you are juggling way too much as it is. Why would you want to take on another full-time role like HOA president?
Because I think you're out of touch. Way out of touch. And you're not interested in truly helping those in need. Only if it benefits you. You've got it all. Houses, cars, clothes, money, freedom. You can do whatever you like whenever without a care of how it affects others. You're out of touch because... you never know what it's like to lose anything. Life always works out for you. Why is that? Is it because you have the right friends in politics, or your husband has relationships in big business, and your neighbors and friends are all afraid of losing your favor? You never lose anything, and that makes you certain you're always right. I just want to give our community an actual chance to run their community instead of falling into step with whatever you say.
I was aghast. No one had ever spoken to me so harshly. All this time, I thought you were my friend. You've changed. I don't know who you are anymore. I've stayed the same. I never showed anything other than what I was.
And that's the problem, Katie. After Harvey, we all changed. You're the only one who didn't. You don't know the world anymore.
I'm done being nice. I'm done with this lunch. Well, thanks for meeting with me. May the best woman win. And at that, I left. I didn't even clean up my plate. I left it to her to pick up my trash. How do you like that? Later that night, there was a community meeting at the Cypress Creek Rec Center to officially nominate the board leaders for the upcoming election. I put on my hashtag Houston Strong t-shirt so that our attendees would remember those weeks that I put in after Harvey, volunteering, bringing lemonade and cookies around to the workers. I also made sure to bring the same lemonade and cookies to the community room at the recreation center. Some people really work off sense memory strategies. I strategically placed a few Vote for Katie posters around the entryway. I was surprised to see how many people showed up. Usually we only get the executive board members that actually have to be there, and they're usually half awake during the meetings, checking their phones or drifting off. I prefer that because it lets me just make all the decisions. But I have the bodies who will willingly vote yes on anything I say just to be able to go home early for dinner. Tonight, I've got a big crowd, and these people look like they've got some axes to grind. The room's completely crowded. I do a mental count in my head and am relieved to confirm that the people from the Upper Ridge outnumber the folks from the Lower Ridge, which means that nobody's going to try and dispute my nomination for re-election. Then I see Joan entering and standing at the back of the room, followed by that pesky Darla and their neighbor Betty, who has got to be well over 80. And I don't even know why her vote should count, because she's going to either die or get dementia and not even benefit from the community pool. Before we get to nominations, I wanted to open the meeting for any general comments from the board. Please, nobody say anything. My neighbor Heather raises her hand.
I think it's about time that all those people in the back who got flooded got their yards cleaned up. They're making the subdivision look horrible.
Well, good. At least somebody agrees with me.
Anybody have any idea how we can get them to work faster?
I wish I could say yes. Elect me and I'll make their lives very difficult.
They've been working on their houses day and night.
Oh, drat. Of course Joan would have to chime in.
Isn't 2 months enough to get their mess cleaned up?
And then Darla had to weigh in.
I wanted to bring up again as to whether we could consider pausing the community pool in lieu of redirecting funds to Harvey relief.
We feel bad about your church, Darla, but we can't give your church the money.
I wasn't asking for the church. I was asking for our neighbors.
What would that solve? Where is the end to repairs? We all spent weeks helping our neighbors. We want to move on, too.
Have you ever lost everything? Have you?
Everyone turns to look at her.
How about if I come and set your house on fire and see how you feel seeing everything go up in smoke? You try to get your life back together in 2 months. Want to give that a try so we can understand what compassion is? What being a good neighbor looks like? Where is your humanity? It's fine for you to stand here and express your concern when you didn't flood and lose everything. What gives you the right to make the rest of our lives even more miserable?
Joan, please don't take this personally. We're just thinking about the rest of the subdivision for those of us who didn't flood. The trash causes our property values to go down.
All our property values have gone down. It's not just you. It's going to take a year for this subdivision to get over this flood. When a year has passed, you can start complaining to your neighbors. Otherwise, you'd better keep your mouth shut.
Let's vote on it. The pool or the people?
I propose we do an anonymous vote for our next meeting.
What is there to vote on? The money should go to the people.
There are bylaws and procedures we must follow. You have to have at least half the residents here to vote on something like this. I'm noting it for next month's meeting. If there's nothing else, we'll move on to opening the floor for nominations for the board elections.
I'd like to nominate Joan for board president.
I second that.
And I'm nominating Katie.
Seconding that.
Wonderful. Anyone else for president?
Katie.
What, Kajama?
Gajoda. I'd like to nominate myself for president.
Can he even do that?
According to the bylaws, yes. This guy, Gedge, whatever the frick his name is a total loser. He hasn't held a job in years living off his wife. He never even goes to the barbecues or the walkathons. His dog is fat. Do I have anyone willing to second Gaga? Of course his wife raises her hand. Fine. Kajama Baba, is there anything you'd like to say about why you'd like the community to consider you for HOA president?
Well, honestly, I'd just like to be your president because if I were elected, I'd leave everyone the fuck alone. Let people govern themselves. I mean, this is a freaking neighborhood where people live. I just want to be able to play my TV show over a certain decibel without getting a visit at 10 p.m. I mean, some of us have better things to do than worry about other people's business all the time. Thank you.
Well, shit. They like this guy. Joan and I exchange looks from across the room. After everyone's left for the meeting, I step out to my car outside the rec center and I get into my car and then suddenly, Joan's piling into my car in the passenger seat.
Screw Gajodar. You can't just jump in our election like that at the last minute.
If he wins, people will have made a terrible mistake after all we do for the community.
Agreed. We need to put a stop to this guy.
Right then and there, Joan and I got on our cell phones and called up all the tennis ladies, and we were able to quickly pull together a promise of their expired OxyContin subscriptions they had gotten after childbirth. I mean, most of us had at least 3 kids each. Probably half of us had scheduled C-sections and 5 of us had episiotomies. We had access to a lot of painkillers. We drove around that night making collections of various doses and put them together in a bag I had found in my back seat. All in all, I think we ended up with about 50 pills per bottle at about 12 bottles. You know those little RX bottles that are orange with the white cap? Then we rolled up to my house and I got into my son Trigg's weed stash. Trigg will be so confused when it turns up missing, but he won't say shit because he thinks we have no idea what he's up to. We drove all that over to Gaga's house. He lives a few houses down from me. That dumbass didn't lock his car. So I easily popped open the trunk and Joan and I dumped all the OxyContin pills and weed along with the lighter and Trigg's bong into the back of his car. The next morning, we were camped out in Katie's SUV waiting for Gaga to make his daily kolache run. When Gaga came out the house, we ducked down before he could see us. He pulled out of his driveway and we followed him. Joan was dialing the police right away.
911, what's your emergency?
Hello, my neighbor Gajodar was driving really weird in front of me, swerving and speeding. I was wondering if you could check on him. He's such a great guy, and I'm really worried something's wrong. He's driving on Mayfield Avenue, just past Strawberry Street. Thank you.
She turned to me.
They're sending someone. They've got an officer not far from here.
We continued tailing Gaga, and suddenly a police car came from around the corner, their lights flashing. We slowed down to let them in front of us, and sure enough, they were there to pull him over. Gotcha, Gaga.
Cypress Creek is a production of Voyage Media. The series is produced by Nat Mundell, Robert Midas, Dan Benamore, and Laura Summers. executive produced by Lynn Jenkins. Written and directed by Laura Summers, based on Hurricane Harvey, Overcoming the Chaos by Lynn Jenkins. The book is available on Amazon. A link is in the show notes. Edited, sound designed, and mixed by Joel Lippman. Original music by Derlis Gonzalez. Starring Carolina Bonetti as Katie and Annie Abrams as Joan. Additional cast credits available in the show notes. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you're listening, and subscribe now for future episodes.